Good morning. Let's turn to Esther. We're going to finish this, chapter 10. Esther chapter 10. Now King Ahasuerus laid a tribute on the land and on the coastlands of the sea, and all the accomplishments of his authority and strength, and the full account of the greatness of Mordecai, to which the king advanced him, are they not written in the book of the Chronicles of the kings of Media and Persia? And for Mordecai the Jew was second only to King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and in favor with the multitude of his kinsmen, one who sought the good of his people, and one who spoke for the welfare of his whole nation. Amen. This passage is talking about, obviously, the fame of Mordecai. But, you know, as we kind of wrap up Esther, you know, you have to, we talked about it at different stages here and there. But one thing that's so remarkable is, you know, as I shared, is the invisible hand of God working. But part of that is if I can call it the unmiraculous miracle. If you notice, like compared to other books of the Bible, where God did pretty amazing miracles, you know, when it came to different kings, I mean, he sent angels out to destroy, you know, hundreds of thousands of the enemies of Israel. But in Esther, God is working and operating, but it just seems so normal. You know, he gives King Xerxes a dream. You know, he keeps him up at night. And so he can't sleep. You have a different circumstance. You know, he raises up Esther to be in the queen's palace, in the king's palace. He does all these little things that if you read it, it seems, and I think that's the intent of the author. It seems like God is not really involved at all, because it's not as miraculous as other passages that we have in the Bible are like. And so we can very easily kind of dismiss God or dismiss that he's working and active. You know, this goes in line with some people I've had to minister to over the years. And, you know, especially like we have baptism service and people come up and, you know, they share their testimony and it's like amazing, you know, like, you know, I was on drugs, you know, I was this, I was that. And then usually you have the person that's kind of, you know, grew up in church their whole life. Their parents were faithful Christians. They didn't really have any kind of dramatic conversion experience. And so, there's this thinking like in their mind is like, oh, I want a great testimony like that. But behind that saying is that, oh, God's not really like working in my life that much. Because they just want to see the spectacular or the fabulous, or, you know, they want to see this huge, you know, turnaround or the huge thing. But the fact that, you know, they were raised in a Christian home, the fact that they, you know, they have been kept safe, all those things, those are, you know, like unmiraculous miracles. These are all, you know, the invisible hand of God guiding and leading in our lives. And I think sometimes that we as Christians, we lose sight of God because we're always looking for the supernatural. We don't really, you know, we don't understand that God works in the natural. He works in the simple, everyday happenstance. You know, he works in the mundane things of our lives. I remember I was speaking at a church in Australia many years ago, and the pastor, because, you know, this was like a really young church, mostly college students, and now these guys are growing up, they're getting married, they're having kids, and so there were probably about 7 or 8 married couples with babies at this time, and so, you know, he just wanted me to talk to them. And so so after the service, you know, we went up to another room, you know, sat on a bunch of couches. And I just talked to them. I just ministered to them. And you could see, as I was sharing, you could see that this kind of downtrodden look on their face. And they I mean, it was very apparent that they felt like they were not very useful to God. You know, whereas before, they used to serve on the worship team. You know, they were board members. You know, they were part of a welcoming team. They went on outreach. You know, they did so many different things. I'm talking particularly about the moms here. And they were so involved in the church. And now that they had a baby, that they were not that involved. And I could see in their face, they felt so guilty. You know, they just felt like, oh, I'm useless. You know, I feel so bad. And these things, I remember I just turned over to them and I said, hey, it's okay. You know, what you're doing as a mother is one of the most spiritual things a human being can do. You know, the fact that you're raising, you're taking care of your baby, you know, breastfeeding is one of the most spiritual things, you know, any person can do. And I just told them, I said, you know, at our church, you know, honestly, as soon as someone has a baby, I expect that they're not going to be doing anything for a whole year. You know, basically you say, hey, you know, I mean, if they want to continue to serve, that's fine. And a lot of moms do. But like, you know, for me, I just don't really expect much from them. Not that I lower the standard, but I know that there's so much time and so much energy, you know, that are related to raising and, you know, having babies and having kids. And as I was sharing this, and then I was just sharing them about the sanctity of the mundane, you know, how God is in the mundane things of our life. Where God shows himself to us in the simplest things. But we can lose sight of that. And again, this you know, unmiraculous miracle that God does in our lives. And, you know, I was probably with them for about an hour and a half or so. And then I laid hands and prayed for them. And you could see their eyes brighten. And you could see their whole countenance begin to change. You know, where they felt like they were useless, they recognized, actually, this is very spiritual. You know, and I told them, you know, as spiritual as someone preaching on Sunday, you know, you feeding and taking care of your baby, it's, you know, in my book, it's just as spiritual. And you can see that their whole, you know, everything just changed about them. And, you know, then they started laughing and smiling. It was a great meeting. But, you know, it just continues to remind me as well, the unmiraculous work of God, the unmiraculous, miraculous work of God. We may not, you know, because we're looking for the spectacular, and because of that, we can miss him in the everyday. We can miss him in the mundane things of our life. And he's everywhere. He's ever present. And so we see that we have this frame in the life of Mordecai. And we see Mordecai, he's just a regular Jewish dude. You know, he's just a regular guy. He goes and he serves, and, you know, he serves in the king's table. And notice, he was always very outspoken about his faith. That's what set Mordecai apart from everyone else. He was very outspoken about his faith. And if you think about it, it's not a very good time to be outspoken about your faith. If you understand the timeline of the Babylonian captivity, it goes all the way back at about 600 B.C., and you have Daniel, it comes on the scene. So the Jews go into exile in Babylon, and Daniel and, you know, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that happens about 600 to about 605 or 606, and these things are happening through their life. And so Daniel becomes, you know, the vizier. He becomes the second in charge, and he serves under a couple of the Babylonian kings, Persian kings here. And then next thing you know, nothing. And so what does God do? Then God raises Mordecai to basically take that place that Daniel held for many generations. And so Mordecai is outspoken, you know, in a about his faith, and, you know, about Jewishness. And trust me, because of Daniel, everyone knows what being Jewish means. And so, but he's so outspoken during that time when it's dangerous to be. And that's what really sets Mordecai apart from anybody else. And if you look at the life of Mordecai, you know that New Testament adage is true, that those that humble themselves will be exalted. He's just a normal guy, and in fact, it's not really him. I mean, it's really his cousin, you know, that he raises up. And notice he raises her up with good values as well. Even though she's in the king's court, you could still tell that the values that were driven into her remain. And so he goes and he becomes second in charge. And this is nothing but the favor of the Lord. In fact, it says here in the middle of verse 3, and Mordecai the Jew was second only to King Ahasuerus and great among the Jews, in favor with a multitude of his kinsmen. Notice that, you know, his other brethren were not jealous of him. It was just the favor of God. Have you, friends, ever met someone that just the favor of God was on them? And I'm not just talking about like church things, you know, but they were out in the marketplace, you know, they were out in government, they were out in business, they were out doing different things, and just the favor of God was just clearly on them. And so they were admired and respected. And you know, whatever they did, it didn't draw scorn to them, you know, from their. And this is Mordecai. He had favor with people around him. They weren't jealous of his position, but they honored him. This is again the unmiraculous miracle of God, to have God's favor poured out. You know, and you know, I'll be honest, and I you know, for me personally, you know, I can really attest to that, because for whatever reason, I still, you know, don't understand completely. I mean, I do understand one thing, a huge thing that I understand has nothing to do with me, but my whole Christian life, I've just had so much favor. There's always, I don't know, whatever reason, I've always had so much blessing. You know, I tell these people, you know, as a believer, as a Christian, I've never applied for a job. Not once. I never applied for a job. Every step of the way, as God was leading me, you know, people approach me. You know, they offer me positions and these things, and I basically did. I stepped into these different roles. You know, that really grew my. Not only my faith, but my knowledge and ministry in these things. But every time it was just someone approached me, oh, hey, you know, you want to do this? And, you know, we've been praying, you know, about this, and we want you. It's just uncanny every single step of the way. You know, even me coming here to Hong Kong was the same exact way. It's the favor of God. You know, and there's something about this unmiraculous, miraculous work of God. Because the sad thing is, you know, good things can happen to you, and then if you don't recognize God's in it, even though if it's a very simple thing, you can very easily think that it's all because of you. And you recognize, no, this is purely God's favor. You know, I mean, I was involved in situations and ministry things that I had no business being a part of. You know, it was, you know, way out of my pay scale. But that's exactly what God does. He releases his favor. And that's what happens with Mordecai. I mean, you know, the fame of Mordecai grows so much that the king begins to relay the accomplishments of Mordecai. I mean, it's just tremendous what God does just with a simple person. You know, no renown, no fame, nothing, but is willing to be bold about their faith. To willing to stand up, you know, in their faith, in the face of persecution. That's my takeaway from Mordecai. He was willing to stand up for his Jewish people and his Jewish faith, even in the midst of persecution, in the midst of Haman, who was the number two man in all of the kingdom. And it's a pretty amazing tribute, you know, to lay down, you know, on Mordecai. And so Mordecai was faithful with a little thing that God had given to him, which was his faith. And because of his faith, because he was faithful in a little thing, God entrusted him with much. You know, I meet a lot of Christian people, a lot of leaders, and a lot of young people who want all the much, but are really not willing to be faithful in a little thing. You know, they want so many blessings, and they want these things, but they're not faithful in the little things that God gives them. God gives to them, you know, and they wonder why God's not using them, or why there's not as much favor or anointing or these type of things. You know, you need to be faithful with the little things. Mordecai was faithful with that little thing. He humbled himself, and so God exalted him. So let's close our eyes. You know, let the Holy Spirit speak to you today. What is that faithful thing? What is that thing that God has entrusted to you? That little thing. It could be just a place of obedience where you sense God asking you to obey in some matter. But are you faithful in the little things? Have you humbled yourself? Or have you tried to exalt yourself? Now let the Holy Spirit speak to you as we sing and worship the Lord.
Faithful one.
Let's pray. This morning, let's pray two different things. One, let's pray that God would open our eyes. Our eyes would be open to see the miraculous in the midst of the mundane. To be aware of the unmiraculous miracles of God in our lives. The invisible hand of God and how He works and moves. And two, in light of that, in reflection to that, let's pray that we be faithful with what God gives to us. We wouldn't worry about what God's given to somebody else, but we just be faithful with the little that God puts in our hand. And believing that we're faithful in little things, that God will entrust us with much. But instead of focusing on the entrust us with much, we focus on being faithful in the little things. Well, let's pray this morning. Let's go to our community prayers and let's pray for our friends and family that are battling through cancer, going through therapies, and let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but also needs to meet with Jesus. So let's pray for physical healing. Let's pray for the word of salvation. Let's pray for our community that are battling through illness, but it's not cancer related. Oh, let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for our community that's looking for work. Let's pray for open doors and God's provision. Let's go to our mission focus and let's pray for China. Well, let's pray for the Holy Spirit to breathe His wind upon this land and that there will be a real reformation that really begins to flow. Let's pray for SP Beijing. Some of you guys may or may not know they don't have their space anymore. And so they're moving into smaller communities during this time. And there's also a bit of a heightened persecution in Beijing. And so let's lift them up. Let's pray for SP Shanghai as well. Pray for Pastor Ricky and the family and the community to continue to grow. And let's pray for the Chungs. And let's just pray churches. I've heard lately that even three self-government churches are being shut down these days. And so let's just pray for Holy Spirit to protect and really use these churches to expand His kingdom. Let's lift up. Let's pray for our board. Let's ask God to just really use and bless our brothers and sisters, our leading. Let's just ask the Holy Spirit to come. You know, we have a prayer meeting later on this morning. Let's pray that we will gather together and really hear from God and really draw near to the Lord. Let's lift up. Let's lift up our fellowship ministries, our young adults, our men's ministry, and our women's ministry. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to lead our men and women, our young adults, and that He would really form them during this time. Let's pray for SP 2.0. Let's pray for our building and resources. Let's pray for a benefactor. Let's ask God to continue to lift up and expand the Vision Fund. Let's just pray for our ultimate destination. Let's pray for House Church tonight, Blue Pool, Fortress, Lido, Lion Rock, New Conduit, TST, and Ventress. Let's pray for our leaders, our hosts, that the Holy Spirit would really lead and guide, and that people really draw near to one another and to the Father. Lastly, let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's ask God to continue to protect and guard this city. Pray for His peace. The Prince of Peace come down and release His peace and harmony in this place. Let's pray. Father, thank you. God, thank you again for the reminder, Lord. Thank you for your invisible hand working throughout our lives, God. Lord, in the spectacular, but also in the mundane. Lord, help us not to be so focused, God, on the spectacular that we miss you, God, in our everyday little things that you do to care for us, to protect us, to guide us, God. Lord, and above all, Lord, help us to be faithful with the little that you give us, God. Thank you, Lord. We love you, God. Would you watch over us the rest of this day? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. See you tomorrow.